You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
I guess I'm just a lovely person. Hi, this is Natalie, also known as Starscast, with another great guest. This lady and I talked last week a little bit, so if we sound like we're old friends, it's because we already talked an hour before, and we kind of have a good feeling for each other. We already know, you know, some of the guests that I have, I bring on first time. I don't usually talk with them before that. Some of them I do, but it's kind of rare. But anyways, I want to tell you about Stars with a Z, psychics.com. We still have our specials going on. The first 3 minutes are free for new clients only. I don't have anything else offering right now. I know it's tough for everybody. The regulars are coming back, so it's okay. Not as good as it was like about a year and a half ago, but then I started seeing a steady decline, you know, like in February and March, and money's just really tight for everybody. So be safe. I'm going to tell you this at the end. Be safe. Wear masks. That is an important thing. And only go someplace if you really have to. I was just talking to my guest, and I told her I go to the grocery store, and then I come home. That's it. I feel so safe at home. I don't really want to go anywhere. But listen to what the guidelines are. Please be healthy. Please stay healthy and be safe. Now, I want to talk about my magazine, MysticLivingToday.com. In about 9 days, I'll be sending out my reminders for, you know, submissions. I take poetry, excerpts, articles, press releases. I'm starting another column. It's going to be for, I don't know what we're going to call it for this lady. She had a couple of my last two issues. We did her artwork in it. She's in Germany. And we started talking to each other on Instagram. And I saw her work, and I asked her if she's ever been in a publication. And she said, no. And, oh, my gosh, well, she just went cuckoo with it. But anyways, I've got that. But I'm also, I found a place where I can do a flip magazine. In other words, take the e-zine that I have there now and put it into a flip magazine. So what that means is you'll go there and you'll see the cover, and then you click on the corner and it flips a page, and then there'll be a table of contents, and so you can click on those links, and I'm going to have ads. I've already talked a lot of my people that submit to the magazine, and some of them I've known, I don't know, 10, 12 years at least, that they all want to do ads with me, so I'm going to do that and have subscriptions to it, free subscriptions, and it's a big job, but it's something that I've always wanted to do, and everybody knows I love to be creative. That's my thing. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest tonight. Like I said, her and I talked last week, and I found out an awful lot. But let me bring in tonight Joyce Isaacson. How are you, Joyce?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I'm going to tell you a little bit here. She has written a book, and I've got it pulled up on Amazon. It's called Wish You Were Here, A Rock Fantasy. You got to hear the background on this book that she's done. But I want to start, Joyce, from the beginning, how you got your feet wet. I know you've probably been writing forever. I think you said you did some poetry. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, most of the people that I have talked with wrote when they were really young, like 10, 11, 12 years old. I mean, these are people that like to dabble in it. They would write poetry. They'd write little short stories. They were good readers, and it's strange, but if I did a survey, I bet you most of them, that's how they got started. They got their feet wet, and if it was their calling, they just ran with it. I have some that have published like 10 books, but almost every one of them, not all of them, but most of them, maybe 80%, have They did stuff when they were really young, you know, even if they're in their 30s. I'm talking 10 years old. They started writing little things and, you know, taking notes. And you could see where their mind was. It was just they were in this creative mode. And, I mean, I'm creative, but I don't even know. Joyce and I never talked about this. She probably has her own idea. But I like to I love to be at my computer with all my monitors. And I love to put things like this magazine thing. Oh, my gosh, I'm having so much fun, and I found the right one. So I didn't do this when I was little. I love to read, but I certainly didn't follow in her footsteps. So, Joyce, let's start from kind of the beginning, how you started off in all of this, high school, wherever you want to begin. But a lot of times people that are listening out there, you know, maybe they're amateur authors. Maybe, you know, they've been kind of dabbling with their own work, and they don't know if it's a normal way to do things. So you're going to tell them how you got started so that they can say, well, that's not so bad. I can do that. I've been doing that. So take us from the very beginning when Joyce was, oh, I don't know, you can start when you were high school. It doesn't really matter. Wherever you feel is a good place to begin your story.
Well, I'm going to begin. I was very, very young, and I was basically bullied by kids, and I became very, I guess, introverted in a way, and also teachers were bullying well at the time, but they had this poetry contest, and everybody that was in third grade had to participate in it, and I decided to write a thing about the seasons. I didn't think I was going to win or anything like that. But all of a sudden, about a week later, they said I won, and I got a certificate and everything. And that pretty much started my writing career, to tell you the truth. I was just motivated from that point on.
As you should have been, because, gosh, that's tremendous. I mean, how many of us have – well, I was really good with English lit. I could interpret stories really well. But, But for you to get that, I mean, you must have been sitting up high on the moon there, on the crescent of the moon, and swinging your legs. Yay, look what I did.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. My parents were proud of me as well. And I just started actually writing little things down, like comic strips. And they were stick people at the time. But I would put in, like in the bubble, I would put in what they were saying. And as time went on, the stick people became more meatier, and what I put in the bubble became more, I guess, a lot more words, let's just say that. Before I knew it, my mom said to me, hey, I'm going to get you a diary. I'm like, oh, okay. So she got me a diary, and I started writing down in my diary things. And sometimes I would write things about myself, or sometimes I'd just write about other things instead. And that went on for a while, and I started to love writing and drawing. I got good at it for some reason. And in high school, I took a journalism class, and I did very well in the journalism class. And I graduated and went to Columbia College. And, I started very young also having psychic experiences, but I'll go into that later on or something, but...
In college,
I took a creative writing course, and I was doing very well in that, except for our final, my teacher was grading all the other kids, and he wouldn't grade my paper. And I asked him why. He says, I can't grade it because it's too far out.
You were too advanced.
He said, I'm going to grade you only on the stuff that you have completed before. So instead of getting an A+, I got an A. So it was okay. And from there, I had several jobs, but I went down to the Chicago Tribune, and I filled out an application for that and for a copy clerk position, and I didn't think I was going to get it. And I did. 3 days later, they called me and said, come in.
What does a copy clerk do?
A copy clerk basically is a gopher. They Xerox papers. They
okay.
They go do coffee runs. They we have what they call cold type, and they had cold type and hot type, and we used to put them down to shoot the pages.
In a tube.
Mm-hmm. In a tube.
Okay. I'm from Detroit, and my mother had a cousin, and her daughter worked at the Detroit Times. We had the News, the Times, and the Free Press. I don't remember. Maybe it was the Free Press, but she took me there once. It was the coolest thing to see.
Yes.
I saw all of that. And, you know, do they still have papers now? I mean, I think they do, don't they? Like, we have the New York Times, and we have that kind of stuff. But I bet you it's much more automated and digital and computerized.
Oh, no, without a doubt, it's pagination now. So everything's basically online for the most part. I mean, they do still sell newspapers, but who really buys them now, really? I mean,
no, you don't.
Do it online. But at the Chicago Tribune, I got very, very inspired and motivated by some of the people that were working there, especially other writers, journalists, and artists as well. And I became very good friends with some of the artists there. And my boyfriend was a journalist, believe it or not. And I remember I told him I wanted to also be a reporter as well at that point. And he says, well, you have to deal with a lot of different things there. And some of the things are not so, some of them are kind of bloody. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, not so nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It turned me off, but I continued to write, and I got involved with his name's Rick Hogan. He became friendly with me, I started to write screenplays at that point and a treatment, and I wanted to send into a program called Quantum Leap. And I told him what I wanted to do, and I said, could you read it for me and tell me what you think? And he said, he'd be brutal and honest with me. I'm like, uh-oh. So that very night, I went home, I went to sleep, and I kept seeing in my mind he hated it. He just hated it.
Yeah, of course. Oh, God, what did I do? I did this wrong and that wrong. And
I did,
To be critiqued by somebody
morning,
who knows their stuff. That was scary.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was really scary for you.
That was very scary. And the next morning, I woke up and I went into the Tribune, and I went to his cubicle or his office, and he was on the phone, and I was shaking in my boots, basically, at that time. I think it was actually winter, so I was wearing boots. And I remember he got off the phone, and he said to me, Joyce, I'm going to be very honest with you. And I got like, uh-oh, you know, like
that. Take a deep breath. Yeah.
I couldn't even breathe. And he said to me, I found it very, very good, exceptionally great. Thinking, what? And
did I just say right?
He said, send it into Quantum Leap. And I wanted
now,
to do that.
Now, what is Quantum Leap? What is that?
Quantum Leap is a show where this particular character, he actually enters the body of another person in the past. He was originally supposed to go from one place to another in this machine, and it sent him back in time. And the only one that can he can see himself. I think it's you can see him, but in the mirror, he looks like a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has to do is he has to try to do things to correct the future. And he's got somebody from the future who's helping him, and this show was very, very popular at the time. And I thought, I'm going to send it in. And I called, and they said, well, you need an agent. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, how much is an agent? They said, $2,000.
Yeah, this is big time. Okay. What do I pay you, $10 an hour or what?
I did not pay that money. I actually went back to Rick and told him about the situation. He says, let me send it in for you. I said, okay. And he says, I'm going to put in a letter. And this letter is going to say, when you read this, please get back to me. And believe it or not, we're waiting about a month, and Rick calls him and says, "Well, what's going on?" They said, "Well, we didn't want it, so we threw it out." Rick told me, he said, they never even looked at it, because if they looked at it, they would have found that letter, and they would have sent it to him, because he's a big guy in the TV critic business. I mean,
really big.
So, but I wasn't daunted by that, because I just kept on writing. And I wrote with my girlfriend, and this is how it really started, a lot of my writings. We were going back and forth. I was writing a thing called All My Rock Stars, and it was a soap opera with rock stars in it.
Okay.
And I had like, I don't know, 30 to 40 different reporter notebooks of things that we wrote down. And from there, I just kept writing. And then I got really inspired by this one show called Nowhere Man. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so incredible. And I had a dream, and in the dream I saw what I was supposed to be writing. And from that, I started writing my own story. And I kept writing, and I got involved with the National Writers Association, and they edited the story for me. And I started sending it out to different places, and nobody would pick it up. Finally, I found somebody online.
Back up now. For those that are writing and all of that, was it expensive to join the Writers Association and whatever, what did it entail? I mean, if somebody's got something that they, how did that work for you?
Okay, so the Writers Association was $50 a year, which wasn't bad. And they had different services, and one of the services that I did use was their editing service. They would actually read it first and tell you what needed to be edited and stuff, and I put on basically all my eggs in one basket, and I decided to take my Tribune money, because at that particular time I was retired from the Tribune. I quit when my son was born, believe it or not. I quit. I wanted to raise my son. That was really important.
Yeah. Okay.
Very important. But it stuck with me. And then I found a publisher online, and I sent it into them, and they really loved it, and they made the book cover and everything. And I was selling some books, actually, and then they changed hands. They somehow it changed, and I couldn't go and do a book signing or anything. They wouldn't deal with this particular publishing place anymore. So I was sort of on the outs. And I asked for my rights back, and they said to me, "Well, you have to wait 7 years to get your rights back." 7 years. And, oh, my gosh. So, but even though the first book wasn't, you know, it was just sitting there in a way, I started writing more, like a series of books with this one character in there, Todd Anderson, and it's a science fiction, not paranormal, but science fiction fantasy book, an adventure. And the National Writers Association, I got to know the editor very well, and she said, "Just send them to me, and I'll just edit them for you for free." I'm like, free? I can't believe it. I was paid like close to $2,000 for the first book and the second book, because it was actually one book together, and we made it separate books. She said, "I made at least, I would say, 6 different books in the series. I still have them." And I realized that they're not in, they're in archaic form right now, because now you have to basically do either a first PVO or a third PVO.
Now, what is that?
That's
a PVO.
From the person's, from third person's perspective and first person's perspective.
Oh, jeez.
So I have, like, it's all mixed up. But from there, something really interesting happened. And I can't believe this, but my husband had this little radio station at the time called Sound of Good Tunes, and he asked me, this was in 2013 now, and he asked me to put away some CDs, and I said, okay. And I came across this Badfinger CD, and I looked at it. I said, oh, I know who's on the cover, Joey Mullen. I've been trying to see him since about 1987, and I never got a chance to see him until 2017. Either he came at a time I couldn't go, or he became sick and he couldn't come. So,
yeah.
But back then, I decided to take the CD downstairs and put it on my my CD player, and I started listening to it, and I heard a song called Rock of All Ages, and it just blew me away. It sounded so much like a Beatles song.
I remember that song. I remember that.
Yeah, it's a real cool song.
Yeah.
And
wasn't it like their single or their big hit from everything that they recorded? I mean, usually there's one that just goes crazy, and I remember that really well.
Yep.
I still listen to music all the time, every day. And I'm from Motown, you know. That's the home of rock and roll. Like, you know, it's all Motown was, we had its heyday in the, probably, you know, like Martha and the Vandellas and the Shirelles and so many groups. It was just unreal what came out of there. But yes. See, like you, now you were in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which was also the home of a lot of, there was a studio, a recording place there, because my late husband played him and his group for Gordy Berry. Well, Gordy Berry, he met Stevie Wonder. But the thing of it is that he wanted to own and possess. So they decided, well, they were going to go to Chicago and record there. But they were the same way. All of these places, they wanted to own and possess you. They didn't want you. But it was worse at Motown. All of those groups, all of those single players like Marvin Gaye, I adored him. All of them were used and abused, really. They probably lost a lot of money because of the contracts. So, you know, it was like now, because I don't really know that industry anymore, but isn't it amazing? So go on. I didn't mean to interrupt,
It's interesting. So I read some of the liner notes a little bit about each and every one of them, and I didn't really know much. And I asked my husband about my Facebook page, because he's been trying to get me to do a Facebook page since 2008. And so I decided, okay, I want to join a Led Zeppelin group. I said, sure. He showed me how to do it. I said, how about a Badfinger site? And he said, oh, okay, no problem. Here, I'll show you what to do. So I joined Joey Mullen's site, and I joined a Badfinger site. And I found out in the Badfinger site, everybody was hurting, because two of the members had passed away. One supposedly suicide. The other one, I'm not sure if it was suicide or not, but I'm still kind of in a gray area with it. But the point is that I decided I was going to write something to them, because I felt so terrible about it. And I wrote that that everybody would be in Tommy's heart, that he would be the one, you know, in heaven, and everybody was, you know, would be acknowledged in his heart. And everybody started to love it. And I got all these likes and comments, so I started writing a little bit more. And
awesome.
Oh my gosh! And
what an awesome story! See, I'm telling everybody, listen to her. She started like just fiddling around, and
mm-hmm.
but divine timing, divine order, the synchronicities happened for you. Her and I talked about this last week, and so okay, so go ahead. So you got all these likes and all that. So that encouraged you to continue, right? Oh gosh, I got
to
keep doing this
without a doubt. And at that particular time, I would say about a week later, this was in November, and this was 1 week before Tommy's memorial, and I had this vision, and I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, my character, Tommy, who I read about a little bit, came in through my window, and he sat at the couch, and I had left him a spread of different foods and stuff. And the first thing he asked me was, is this the Thirsty Whale? And I said, I've never been there, but I've heard of it. He says, oh, I've been there quite a few times, and he ate. After I'm watching him eat. And then all of a sudden, he said, I was told not to come empty-handed, and he came over, and he put the spiritual necklace around my neck. And I remember what
you
it looked
could,
like.
You could sense it was there. You
I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it, and then
I mean, I believe all this because, see, that it's not, I mean, I've seen things, and it's not, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, and it doesn't happen to everybody, but I think if you're open to it,
mm-hmm.
and it's at that point in your life when you really need to see it, which you did.
Yes.
To this got you going.
Yeah, this got me going. When he put that spiritual necklace on me, I said, I'll never take it off. And then he went ahead and he said, I'll see you again. And he left out the window. Now, this, you know, people
were sitting there like, oh, my God, what did I just see?
Yeah, what did I just see? I thought this was kind of crazy. I got in touch with a friend of mine.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah,
it is
creepy.
Creepy.
And my friend who's into paranormal said to me, I have to come over. I said, why? He said, I just have to come over. So he came over and he showed me this book. I didn't see the cover, but he said, page through the book. So I started paging through the book, and I found Tommy in a picture wearing the same necklace, and I've never seen this before in my life. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I even double-tracked to see if I ever saw this picture, and I never did. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And my friend said, you know what? You seem to have a connection to him. And that was the start of everything for me. And meanwhile, I'm getting all these likes on the story, you know, that I put down. And I thought, there's a backstory to this. And I started writing a backstory. And the backstory was about a girl who was psychic and her adventures with Brian Jones, if you know who Brian Jones is from the Rolling Stones. And then Tommy was coming into it in 1983, and I did it very tastefully, how he died and everything. And Tommy came over to me, and I was about, he already went to heaven, and he said to me, you know, he said it would be, he told me what it was like to be judged. He told me what it was like to go to heaven, everything. And then he said, it would be a very boring story if I don't meet anybody. I said, well, who would you like to meet? He said, how about Janis Joplin? I said, okay, we'll put her in. And so we put Janis Joplin in the story. And then from there, he said, he told me his favorite colors and his favorite foods.
So you incorporated all that he wanted.
Oh, yeah, everything, everything. It was like he was writing it, not me. And he told me that there were houses in heaven. He told me there were stores
there
in heaven.
There are houses, okay.
Oh, yeah. He
probably
said
green
houses.
Grass and hills and all that,
grass,
I betcha.
Everything. There's beautiful parks in heaven, beautiful parks. He told me what each level was like up to his level because he can't go to the sixth level and the seventh level. But I know what the seventh level is like because I actually had talked to another soul and he's on the seventh level.
That's,
so I
that's
know.
right next to God, isn't it? Isn't the seventh as high as you can go? Yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's Garden of Eden, basically. That's really the highest level. But the lowest level basically is house, is apartment buildings. And then the second level are mansions, and the third level are like Georgians' houses. The fourth level and the fifth level are very similar together. They have like, how to explain it, like ranches and bungalows and stuff like that. And a couple of two-story houses as well. But he was telling me what level he was on and everything. And before I knew it, I started also seeing him each week on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. Each Tuesday he would come, and the first thing he had to do was smoke a cigarette outside, and then he came in. And, oh, my gosh. But we
now, did anybody else ever see him? Joyce?
As a spirit? Not that I know of. I've
like you saw him. I mean, like your husband, anybody in your family. Nobody ever saw him like you. I mean, you can sense spirits, but to see them, that's pretty big.
I've seen them. And I have a girlfriend, and she's seen him, too, in her mind. And she told me what he looked like without me telling
her. Oh, gosh, I would love this.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. And it was just very interesting because with the story, I mean, he was meeting all these different people just trying to find his bandmate, Pete, in heaven. And I told him, I think he's back on the earth plane because he was suicide and he hung his shoulders. But we finally actually connected with him, believe it or not. That's another story in itself. But when he was connected, he was very leery of me, Pete, because he had been so screwed in his life and he was so trusting in his life, he didn't want to trust anybody. And Tommy kind of talked him into seeing me. And he saw me and he said, oh, she's a good soul. I want to see her again. So I was seeing both of them, actually. Now, my husband knows he's around because he plays with the TV. He will play with the TVs, the upstairs and the downstairs. And he's done this on his birthday, too. We had one TV that became compromised because he played with it. But a friend of ours gave us money for another TV, believe it or not. So we're good there. And he loves to play Come and Get It on my phone. And I don't have my phone by me right now, but I know because of probably legal reasons that wouldn't work on the phone anyway. But he has played Come and Get It. He's done it on Paranormal Soup. I actually think I turned off my phone, so it's not going to work. But, yeah, he actually one time, I mean, this is way more in the future, after I've been writing and writing and writing, and I had to take my story down from the site and put it into my own personal site. And a friend of mine, I wrote for two people for about 4 months, and my friend decided to find me a site, my own Facebook page, fan page. And I started
My story. I must find it. Now, what is it called?
Wish You Were Here, A Rock Fantasy. I think, yeah, that's it. Wish You Were Here, A Rock Fantasy, inspired by Badfinger, by Joyce Isaacson. I can tell you more, you know, the links and everything to get to it, Natalie. And but all of a sudden, people are yelling at me, publish it, publish it. I'm like, oh. I sat on for
you
a whole
have
year.
A fan, you had a fan club going, and you didn't even know it.
Oh, boy, did I have a fan club going. I went out to get people, and they started coming to me, and it was just amazing. So I decided, okay, I'm going to publish it, but I don't know the first thing about publishing. And I went ahead and I got myself an editor. His name was Dennis D. Rosen. He was just fantastic. He didn't rip it apart or anything because I had other editors give me samples, and they ripped it apart. And we worked together on it. But then all of a sudden, when it was done, I realized I had so many dead people in there that he met. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need a lawyer to figure this out, if I can publish this.
Right,
and,
yeah, right, because you're leaning into some territory there that might be infringing on something, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And all of a sudden, I tried to get a lawyer, and I wanted a pro bono lawyer because I didn't have the money at that time to spend on a lawyer at all. And no pro bono lawyer would touch me. They wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. So I got really, really, really depressed. And I was sitting on the couch, and Tommy came over.
I was going to say, ask Tommy what to do.
Tommy said to me, Joyce, he says, you have to cut up cardboard. And I said, why? It's all stopped. I can't do anything. He says, oh, don't worry. He says, you're going to publish. I said, I don't think so. He says, go cut up the cardboard and get your frustrations out. So
cut
that
up cardboard. What was that about?
Cutting up cardboard was to put, I had already some pre-orders, at least 7 or 8 pre-orders already, and you're supposed to put cardboard on each one, or two, I think, and you put the book in the middle, and then you slide it into the package, and then you send it out.
Oh,
and
okay, so it doesn't get bent or anything. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I was on LinkedIn, And I found out that there was a lawyer who was actually in my group, and I didn't even know he was in my group. And
I'm on LinkedIn. I love that place.
I know.
There's so much talent there. And if you go looking, and this is to everybody, if you go looking around, I mean, you can do searches, and you don't have to pay anything. I don't have a paid membership or anything. You'd be surprised. You make contacts with all these people. They don't limit you. I mean, you can go in your arena. I call it an arena. Like, you know, I go with my magazine, or I would go with psychics. Not usually psychics. They would come after me because they would see my name. But because they know, you know, you start searching and you find out who's who and she does this too and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, it was, I was impressed. I mean, I don't get on it as often as I want to, but I have something that I want to say to you, and it just came to me. You know, I'm working on a flip type magazine for my e-zine, which is my e-zine is online on this one site, but it doesn't look like a book. So I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I I found this place called Flip Snack, and they're so nice to me. I mean, you know, they've got this little ongoing chat thing going, and the gal will answer you, and, oh, here, I'll send you the link, and you go there, and I say, yeah, but I say I'm really new. I kind of schmooze them, I guess. I mean, I am new, but I'm not stupid. I mean, I'm a novice, but I'm not really. I mean, I could figure it out, but it's so much easier if you get direction. But anyways, that's what I want to do with this magazine, and I've wanted to do it for years. And, you know, my webmaster said, oh, it'd be too hard, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, come on. What's too hard? I mean, tell me. What is too hard? Not for me. You don't ever say that to me. I mean, I'll just go digging around, and then I have a gal named Jackie, and I have my other friend who encourages me, and Jackie, I'll say, Jackie, I don't know how to do this. Hold on a minute. And she goes and she
looks
it up.
And they'll do it. Well, I found a lot of different people on LinkedIn, too, and I just recently found somebody.
So, I mean, I think maybe I need to go to LinkedIn and post something. I need help with my flip magazine. I mean, I want to take ads. I mean, I've got all of these people from all over the world that have been submitting articles. This is an hour of creativity, people, if you're listening, whoever's listening. But I have all of these people, publishing houses, that all of these resources since the year 1999. I mean, I know these people really well, and but they can't really help me with this. I've got to go to somebody who's done it. I do have somebody who's done it. I just really don't want to bother her. She just lost her significant other about a year ago, and she's still kind of wheeling and reeling with it. And she said, well, I don't want to do this as a regular job. I said, I'm not asking you to. I just want to ask you questions. She said, yeah, but I would really, I don't feel that that's really my source. There's going to be somebody else. Hold on, Natalie. I'll show you how to do it. and I'll do it. And all I want is to get the first one up, and then the rest is a piece of cake. See? I mean, there's people out there that will do it for you, but I do all the work. I get all the content. I'm not going to turn it over to anybody to put it into a flip magazine and pay them so much a month. We had somebody, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, you know, it would be like you saying to me, okay, Natalie, I'll put this into the flip magazine, and I'll go over and take all the stuff that you've done, all the links, all the images, the layout, and I'm going to put it into this magazine for you for probably a tune of $300 a month. Well, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to figure it out myself. And it'll be a feather in my hat, you know, Joyce, because just like you, you had to open some doors.
I had open doors.
I don't have anybody that's going to come to me and say, come through my window, I can do this for you. I don't think. But, you know, sometimes when you put something out to the universe.
I talked to the lawyer at the one, I said to him, please, I said, if you read my book and you give me the go-ahead, I'll give you a free book. And he said, sure. So he read my book. It took a month to read. And from that point on, he said to me, okay, you can publish. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Tommy was right. And I published. And
oh, he looked it over to see that you were not going against any laws of, you know, copyright laws or infringement.
That's
and
right.
all that. Because you didn't want anybody from their families to come at you.
No.
this was fiction. I mean, this is not as though this is an autobiography or a biography of somebody. I mean,
no.
So that they wouldn't
well,
get anything from
Well, there's a lot of truth
you.
In there. There's a lot of truth in there, believe it or not. People don't
understand.
Well,
a lot of it you heard from him and yourself, we'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about heaven that's actually in there that I got from him, from Tommy. And it was very interesting. But I did publish, and all of a sudden I was on LinkedIn again, and this was a little bit later on. And it was really weird because my group was saying, okay, after I published it and everything, they're saying, make it a movie, make it a movie. I'm like, huh? And I'm like, a movie? Now they want to make me. I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And, you know, and was getting some good sales at that point. And I said, okay, I'm going to find somebody on LinkedIn and see if there's a script writer. And I went and I looked for a script writer. I found one. And she did it for me. And I started going back on LinkedIn again.
Because there's a different way that you have to lay it out when it's, when it's a script like that to turn in. What is it called? A screenplay, right? Is it a screenplay?
It's a screenplay. Yes, it's a screenplay. It's right now in front of Paramount. And
Paramount Studios, everybody.
Paramount Studios. And people are waiting very impatiently for my sequel to come out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm still working on trying to get a cover together. And it's like, they're like, when is the book coming out? When is the book coming out, my
Why do you have to have a sequel to get this in motion with them?
Because a lot of them read the first book, and they really, really enjoyed it. And they want to read the second book because it's a continuation from the first book.
So it could be almost like a part one, part two kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a what do they call
it? Well, get Tommy on the stick here. He's got to help you.
He has been helping me, believe it or not.
He's probably thinking, who is this woman telling her on the phone to tell me to come back through her window? She doesn't even know me. No, but I believe in him. I believe in it, and that's the best thing. So, Tommy, let's keep going with this.
Tommy is just wonderful. I put my hand out. He usually takes it. I feel the tingles on my hand, which he's taking now, which is
good. Now, you can see him, though, right?
Yes, I can see him. And I usually see him in the corner of my eye mostly. I can see him straight on sometimes, but sometimes he's fast. He goes up the stairs, and when I'm panicking and something isn't right, I see him go up the stairs in a flash, and all of a sudden he does something to the TV and makes my husband come downstairs and say, okay, what's going on? Tommy's doing something to the TV again. You know, and that's happened quite a few times now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He also told me something that was really interesting one time. I was sitting at the computer. He said, you know, if you find this one picture on the internet of me at Disneyland, your book's going to be successful. And I'm like, okay, I'll go look. So I started looking. I spent 4 hours looking for it. It didn't come up. I was like, okay, Tom, you're wrong. Next morning, he said the same thing again. I took 2 hours and started looking for it, and I found it.
He had gone to Disneyland. He wanted you to find the picture of him there.
Yeah. He wanted me to find that picture, and I found it. And it's the only one on the net of him at Disneyland. I was so surprised. It took altogether 6 hours to find that picture, and I still have it. I have that picture. I also have somewhere where I have a picture of him on the wall, his face on the wall. I got to find that one. It's missing now, but I actually took a pen kind of thing, and I drew where his eyebrows were. He's got these bushy eyebrows and these really cool dark brown eyes. They're sort of like silver eyes to me. And his nose is kind of pointed, you know, British-style nose. And his mouth. And I went ahead and I did this. I said, oh, my gosh, it's Tommy on the wall. I'm like, he showed up. because I was taking with my computer, and there it was. And it's I wanted to let everybody know what the first story is basically. It's about a rock star battling severe depression who fails to start his musical career, and he wants to be in heaven with his bandmate. But suddenly he finds himself alone in paradise. This compels him to search for his mate, where he meets new famous souls in a race against time to connect with him before he possibly returns to Earth or is reborn. That's the first story.
Okay.
And the second story is called Can Heaven Get Any Crazier? Rock star Thomas, inspired by Tommy Evans, faced with new missions on his adventure, finds that searching for his friend, inspired by Pete Ham, is not as simple as he hoped it to be. Being in heaven, Thomas meets old souls and new souls, inspired by the likes of Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Monroe, Sharon Tate, Richard Nixon, even Napoleon.
Oh, wow.
And encounters some surprises along the way.
Yeah, I guess so. Napoleon.
Yeah, and he discovers a strange, mysterious stone that helps him balance well on the lower levels of heaven.
I'm going to tell you, Sharon Stone, the guy, I was in beauty school when right after we graduated. It was when this all happened with that whole thing. I was in beauty school, and there was this girl who was the sister of the hairdresser that died with them.
Oh, my goodness, really?
He had changed his name.
Wow.
I did not know. You know, this was in Detroit. And I picked up the paper, and, of course, it was front page. And I looked, and there she was. And I kept looking, and I said to myself, I probably said, I went to beauty school with her. And I did. He had changed his name, too, and I don't even remember what it was. But isn't that strange? You talk about her. Tommy talks about her. And I went to school with the sister of this hairdresser. I don't remember his name, but he was with them.
Oh,
and
I know who you're talking about. Oh,
and he got killed, yeah.
It slipped my mind. Oh, Jay Seaspring.
Yes, that's it.
That's it. And
but his last name was Kummer, K-U-M-M-E-R. He changed it.
Okay.
Because she was Peggy. And I kept looking at this and reading her name, and I'm thinking, this cannot be.
Wow.
But he was buried, because they were from Michigan. He was buried from Michigan. I don't remember if it was Bloomfield, wherever it was. But so I knew it was her.
Wow.
And we were pretty close. I mean, she never, I think she said to me one time, well, you know, my brother's a hairdresser out in California. But she didn't make a big deal of it. He was a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal, definitely.
He was a big deal. I went to the beauty school with her.
Mentioned in my story, Jay Seaspring. What I did was, when we decided to make it a movie, we changed the names because I landed myself of traditional publisher, and she said, well, she says, if you're going to do this in the screenplay, we should change the names also as well, because you don't know who's going to come after you for a movie, you know, and to get all the names, believe it or not, it would take years to get all the permissions.
Right.
I'm serious. And, I mean, I've had so much fun just doing this story. I put in Lady Diana in the story. And he's supposed to help.
Princess Diana. Oh, God, I loved her so much. Oh.
He puts Tommy on a special task. And he also is confronted with an exact replica of his past, the same club he debuted in with his own band. And it's like, and he's got all these near misses with his friend, Pete, in the story. All these near misses. He even meets Babe Ruth. He meets Andy Warhol. I mean, there's about 40 different people he meets in the story. And in the first story, he meets about maybe 35 people. And each one has their own personality, and it affects him in a certain way. that helps him actually on a search. And I thought he's very, very determined to find his mate. Very determined.
You know what makes me feel really good about this, and you can tell him the next time you see him, is that it's a beautiful, heaven is a beautiful place. It has levels, but it's got, you know, hills and green grass and, you know what I'm saying, that it's not dark. And I mean, it wouldn't be dark, but
no,
you know what I'm saying?
It's not dark.
Like it could be home. It's their new home. I like that feeling a lot. I really do.
Oh, yes,
I really
definitely
do.
There's so many beautiful parks there. On Pete's memorial, I think it was, that Tommy and Pete, they both went to the park. I asked Tommy, sort of without asking him, what are you going to do for your memorial? Because it's coming up. It's on the 19th. And he said to me, he said, we're going to go shopping. I said, I mean, guitar shopping or clothes shopping?
Yeah, what kind of
shopping
are we talking about? A mall or what?
They have stores. I'm not sure. He says that they do have stores there on the lower levels. I'm like, oh, that's interesting to find out. I have visited.
But you don't need money. Obviously, you don't need money, right?
Oh, yes, you do. You get spiritual money. You get spiritual money for all the good deeds and things that you do. You get spiritual money. It's amazing.
I'm going to be loaded.
He got like a million
points. I've done so many things. You know, I talk about this. I talk about that everybody's has. I call it like a big piece of paper with pluses and minuses. And I tell people, you better have a lot of pluses, because when it's time, God's going to say to you, and what are all these on this side? How come? And I always laugh when I'll say, oh, yeah, he's not going to have to worry about me. The only thing I ever did when I was a little girl is I bopped a little boy in the face because he hit me in the head with a rock. It's the only thing I've ever done to anybody.
Well,
you know,
what Tommy told me is that you actually see your life on the screen. You see your whole entire life. And on the screen, by the screen, is this like thing where it's like a scale, and these beads fall on the scale when you do something wrong, and they fall on the scale when you do something right. And sometimes it tips to the wrong side, and sometimes it's, and because
now you're writing about this right now. You're writing about all this in heaven and all of that, correct? Or is that another book?
Yeah. No, I wrote all this. I'm actually going to be writing on the third book. I'm going to be working on that. I've got 10 pages into the third, but this was actually one whole book. But we needed to make it clear in the book an ending. We needed an ending, and I didn't have a satisfying ending when I wrote it the first time. And the second time I wrote it, we made it satisfying, but we made it continuation. So, and then in the second book, it's like there's a lot of motivation for him to go back out and search again. So I don't want to give everything away, but it's a very unique, very quirky.
Well, it sure is. Now, isn't it true that if you have written a book, because somebody contacted me I clicked on something about it, because actually my fairy tale is a children's story, but it's for like 15, 16-year-olds. I mean, adults would really like it too. But she said to me, she called me, and she said, well, you know, you can copyright this by sending it back to yourself.
Oh, yeah, but that's called a poor man's
cap. Is that true? You put it in an envelope, mail it to yourself, stick it in the mail. When it comes back, it's yours.
Yes, that's called the poor man's patent, believe it or not. This one guy did it. And I've done that too with some of my short stories that I've actually written. I've written quite a few short stories now, but this was my baby. And I had a dream that I would have two books. But they were babies, and they were just perfect babies. And I realized this was something that had to do with my books. And now the only thing is I need a cover. I'm still trying to figure a cover.
Now, who did the cover for this book here that I'm looking at on Amazon?
Okay, my publisher did that particular one. I don't think it's the greatest cover, honestly. That's why I'm working really hard to get a better cover. It's not their fault or anything. It's just that we had to sort of work with how can we portray Tommy and not get into trouble.
Right. Well, that's just an image of somebody playing a guitar.
Yes. So that
and
was
he's like, there are clouds there, like and pillars, like he would be, and the gates. He's through the gates of heaven, right there. There it is.
Yes,
I can see it right
there. He's right there, going to heaven and everything with the gates.
Well,
now
keep
here's
asking
something.
Him things. Write things down. I'm curious.
Well, here's something interesting. Just yesterday, I got an email from somebody who I had written to a long time ago on my pitch deck and some of my segments of chapters and stuff, and I sent it to her. She's a producer. And I actually got a message back from her, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I just seen this now. And this is like maybe 8 to 9 months old, this email that she just saw. And I started talking to her on the phone, and she said she was interested in seeing a new pitch deck that I have. And I also gave her my log line as well. So I've got
a log
line.
Now, what's
a
pitch deck and what's a log line? What are those?
A pitch deck is basically what you're going to do with the project, how it's going to affect the movie industry. And then the log line that I had is basically just one long sentence. And I sent that to her and I'm waiting for her. I told her I'm going to call you back on Friday and make sure you got it. But she came and we talked. She said right now things are not happening with films, but she's doing TV right now. I'm thinking to myself, TV, this could actually...
I can see week after week after week.
This could be a weekly thing, or it could be a mini series. I mean, there's very, very big possibilities with this. My friends and people that I didn't even know who were reading the stars are coming back to me saying, this is really, really good. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm getting all these, I'm getting some reviews. It's very hard to get reviews, believe it or not. People read and they want to give you reviews, but they don't know how to review sometimes. They're shy with reviews, but I've got 27 reviews on them, and I've got three, four, and five stars on them. So I didn't get any one stars, so I'm really happy about that, or twos. So, yeah, everybody that's reading it says to me, oh, Joyce, this is, I can't wait for the next book.
You've got a lot of good reviews on Amazon, lots of them.
Yes, I did. I'm really happy with that, and Tommy's like, oh, see. He definitely is really happy for me as well. I had a situation the other night that was really, really devastating to me. Didn't have a chance to tell you, but that cover thing was going on, and a friend of mine worked very hard on one of the covers. I'm not using his cover, so he thought I gave him a finger, basically, the bad finger. And I was devastated because I was very sad that I hurt him. And I didn't know what to do.
Why didn't you use it? Was something about it that just didn't resonate with you? You just didn't get the feeling from it?
It was actually not with me so much, but my group. My group and also Indie Cover Project and another group that knows about covers, it did not resonate with them. And they know what works and what doesn't work. So I went ahead and somebody actually made me a cover and a mock-up. And I said, I like this. I'm going to put it out there as well. And that's when my friend said, okay, you gave me the finger on this because you're not going to go with my cover. And I said, well, my publisher may not go with the cover either. I don't know. It's not high resolution and stuff. And so we had a situation. So I was so depressed. I got depressed, very depressed. And I felt like I just didn't want to be
because you hurt somebody.
I would feel the same way.
I would feel the same way as you. Exactly. That would bother me. Like, Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to feel like I'm being greedy or I'm better than you, but you have to resonate with something. And in other words, you have to get this feeling from something, especially when it's going to be all your work is going to be encased in it. I mean, it's got to. And I think I told you last week, covers are important to me, and the feel of the book. When I go, I haven't been in a long time to like Barnes and Nobles, you know, my friend will go one way and I'll go another, and, you know, I'll be touching these books. Probably think I'm nuts when I'm in there.
No.
But it's the feel, and if I like the feel, then I'll pick it up and look at the cover. If the cover, because the cover is going to tell you what's inside. It's going to tell you about the author. It's going to make you feel, if you really want to get the right book, and I, you know, I'm spiritual, so I you understand. So I've got to get that feeling, and I'll get books from authors all over the place. I mean, I have two bookcases filled with books, and some of them, I hold them, and they feel too big. They're too thick. The cover, I don't really care for the cover. I mean, but that's me. That's my interpretation, you know. I get card decks, tarot card decks, tons of stuff. But it's just got to be right. So I agree with you. It's got to be right.
But here's what happened, which is really interesting, and I did mention this on another program just recently. I was so devastated, I felt like taking all my sleeping pills. And Tommy, I went
to bed. Call me. You got my number. You call me, girlfriend. Don't you dare do that.
And, well, Tommy wouldn't let me up to get him. He pinned me to the bed, literally pinned me to the bed. And he said, I'm not letting you up. And I tried to get up, and he wouldn't let me up. And he said, you have to sleep this way until the morning, and you'll feel better in the morning about it. He says, you got to let it pass. And I tried getting up a couple of times, and I just decided, okay, I'm done. And I just fell asleep, but I couldn't move from that point. I felt like I was in a straitjacket, honestly. And he let me up in the morning, and he said, do you feel better? I said, I feel a little bit better. He says, look, he says, some good things are going to happen today. He said that to me. And I think that you will appreciate this and that you didn't do that last night. And some good things did happen. I received something in the mail from a friend of mine, a Janis Joplin book, a fictional book, and also I got some news from a friend, and good news from a friend. And I got some good news on for Thanksgiving as well. So there were different things that had happened, and I was thankful. And I said, oh, my gosh, I said, what have I almost done to myself? And the person's still talking to me, at least. He didn't want to talk to me in the beginning, but he's still talking to me.
Well, you hurt
me.
His feelings, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, here he did work. Does he do this for a living?
No, he doesn't, but he was very helpful. His son actually helped with it as well. And I said, I would help pay for, you know, the time and the effort you put into it. He says, no, he says, it's okay. He says, I'll be okay. You know, he's also bummed out about the election, too. But it's another situation. But, he's coming around to some degree, and he's like in the new one. And but, you know, I can't believe that, you know, I didn't know a spirit could, like, pin you down with bed. Honestly,
well,
you know,
it's almost like a you saw like some of these movies that will show you that the girl's her head is spinning around and all that. Well, yeah, they can do things. They can be forceful. But you've got a real gem on your side with him. I mean, you tell him I said that. I talk to my friend all the time who passed away. It'll be 3 years in February. And her and I did our show on topics. I guess it's going to be 2 years ago. I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But and I couldn't do show. I think I told you I couldn't do the radio show for 3 months. I just could not.
Oh, yeah.
It was sudden. I knew she was sick, but she didn't really tell me And then I talked to her husband, and then he told me. And so I talked to her, and I talked to God every single day and Jesus at the same time. But like with her, you know, her husband told me something, and it made me feel really good. It was hard for him to say this. He said, but you know, he said, she loved you more than she loved me. Anybody, even her kids on earth, she loved you the most. And I said, really? He said, yep, she told me that. And on my bed, I want to go to Africa one day. And I have this big, huge giraffe that she sent me the December before she died. And it had this special blanket in it. Of course, the blanket is with me all the time. And my big, huge giraffe sits on my bed with me. And I talk to her every day, but I've never seen her. Sometimes just before I wake up, I'll hear the phone ring one time. It's probably her, just letting me know. But I haven't heard it in a long while. But I've been under stress because of everybody's under stress. Not just me. You know, it's not just me, but everybody has their own thing going on, and I just say to her, okay, you're going to have to help me through this one, but I have never seen her, but I have heard things. But she always knew that I was clairaudient. She knew I could hear. So that's probably why she rings the phone one time. It's not my phone, but it sounds like my phone, but it's not.
I have Tommy's pot, his cooking pot. That was given to me from a friend who was friends with Joey Mullen, and I got his cooking pot, and I smell butter and cheese in it, and I don't know why. I can smell it, and it's nothing in the pot. I asked him when I went to his concert, and I said, what's the thing with the cooking pot that his girlfriend gave me? And he says, Tom came over one day with the pot, and he cooked pizza for one, and he left the pot.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is
Well,
really
your
amazing.
Experiences are much more than mine. I told you about my really big one that I had when I almost died. Yeah, I told you about that one, but that's the best that has ever happened to me. And I've been saved a few times near misses and cars
I've been saved four times by this particular spirit.
But you see, we're all at different. We all get different things, and that's what's so unique about us. You know, tomorrow, Maya could appear. You want to see me? Well, here I am. But there's also a thing, too, is that when people pass, they can't do certain things right away, I think. That's what I've heard.
They can.
Well, see, and I also heard from somebody that she's really earthbound because of me. She's with me all the time. And, that's a nice feeling. I have her picture up here in my office along with my best friend who passed away before her. And they're both sitting there. One's a blonde, one's a brunette.
Oh, really?
So, I have a picture of her here. But isn't it something when we can connect like that? It just makes you feel. I feel so good about you telling me what it's like. I mean, and probably other people will hear that and just love it. Really,
Natalie, I got to tell you, I have physical proof he exists in my life as well. He was actually, when I was on Paranormal Soup, he talked in the spirit box. There was a spirit box. Yes. And he said he would make himself known. He took down two of the lines on Paranormal Soup that night, and they were, like, freaked out about it. And then when my interview was just about done, they said, let's see what Tommy has to say. And he said my name in the spirit box. He said his band in the spirit box. He told me something that nobody else know that he's been telling me all along. He says, take your time, please. And, he said quite a few words. He also, when they asked him who he was looking for, he said crook, because this guy was a crook that Pete killed himself.
Oh.
This manager was terrible.
Oh.
And, I have physical proof. And then I have other proof that he's in my life because I was actually going to be on a paranormal show, and they asked me, they said, well, have you ever had any proof on him being who he is? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, did you ever dream about him? I said, no. And
oh,
that
so he
night,
didn't want you, right?
Oh, yeah, he didn't want me. So
yeah.
I prayed to God and asked him and said, is he in my life or is he supposed to be in my life? And I said, please help me on this. And then that night I had a dream. And in the dream, Tommy was in the dream. And he said, well, you're the writer of my story. I want you to be in my shoes and do everything I asked you to do. So we were going through the dream.
But you have the advantage. You can ask him to prove that, to give you proof that he is in your life. Ask him.
He says he is. He actually was, he says, if I'm not who I am, your husband's not going to come in at the certain time. And then my husband comes in at the time that he tells me he's
okay.
going to come in.
All right.
So
good enough.
You know, because one thing spirits can't do is they can't swear. They can't, I don't mean swearing, you know, bad words, but they shouldn't, they don't swear on something, you know, on God's name, because
okay.
it's not
okay.
good for them. They lower themselves. Because you, in a, when spirit passes away, when they are there, they want to keep going higher and higher. And if they do something wrong, they lower themselves and they don't go higher.
Yeah.
And that happens. They can even go higher in their own level as well. I'm learning this. And the reason why I know there's houses in heaven is because even though he told me and everything, I found that out in some of our own teachings. Unbelievable. And I found out about the spiritual money. And I'm like, okay.
No, that's cool. I love that.
Oh, man.
Let's go shopping. I love it.
And,
I love
and
it.
And you do. You can actually make
it. He sounds like
some.
A hoot. He really does.
Yeah. Whenever
awesome.
I say I need these little spiritual lollipops, well, they're big lollipops on my desk. So I've got like a big load, a big pile of lollipops, and I can taste them. I can actually taste them. So I know that he's leaving them for me, and I can smell them and taste them. And he doesn't smoke in the house because my dear son, we had a spirit in the house one time, and he smoked in the house, and my dear son knew he was smoking. He smelled the smoke, and I didn't tell him.
Oh, yeah.
Smelled it.
Oh, you're so fortunate. Bless you. I think it's wonderful. You're going to have lots of good things, and I'm going to keep in touch with you because I want to hear about your screenplay.
Oh, thank you.
One day. Oh, written by. I'm going to stand up and say, I know her. I know
yeah,
her.
Yeah, well, the screenplay is very important to me because it's going to get me to where I want to live. And
where do you
want to
live?
Israel, when they're my brother.
Okay. I would like to go, besides Africa, I would like to go where Jesus walked. Because.
And that's in Nazareth, right?
Yes, because I was there. I mean, I'm feistier than hell, pardon my French, but I mean, I can be shy, but you don't want to go toe-to-toe with me. And I was there getting people because I wanted to take them down off the cross, and he stopped me. He said, no, you will end up dying. I am the one that is dying for all your sins, all of you, everybody. This is supposed to happen. And I was devastated because, I mean, I had lots of people with me ready to do it. And he told me, no, you mustn't do this. But I want to go there. I want to walk where he walked. I just know it would be
that's
very
nice
good for me.
That would be really nice. That's going to be really nice if you can do that. I want to do it. I want to be there. I want to help my friends as well when I get some good money. I need to help my girlfriend with a roof that's caved in. I need to help my brother because he's just barely surviving there right now. And I have another person to help as well. And I promised one of the other screenwriters, actually he's getting his screenplay done. I said, whoever makes it to Israel first, I said, you have to invite the other. But now we're in COVID land. So everything's sort of come to a standstill with everything.
Yeah, but it's we have faith. You and I have faith, and those listening, you have faith. You know we're going to get through this.
This is
going to be okay. And we'll all have learned a lesson. And I say this every week, Joyce, you know, the world is round and it's going around, but it's really not now. It's kind of tipped. And it's all, and I call it a comeuppance, and I've told this to many people. So God has said, okay, you know, your values are wrong. You have wanted and loved money more than anything else. Lots of you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change it. I'm going to show you what's really important. The only bad part about it is that lives will be taken. But I think it's a comeuppance for all of us to start to sit back and love each other. Take care of each other. Help each other. I mean, I've been doing that for years. But there's so many people that, you know, I always use the grocery store as an example. Somebody drops something, somebody will walk by and don't even pick it up for them. I stop. If you're at one end and I see that, or you're this little old lady reaching, I go down. Can I help you get something? They think I work there. I don't work there. I just do it because I love people. I love helping people. And
I
just
if I
had a magic wand, I'd fix it all. If I had a wand, because you know my neighbor next door calls me the little fairy.
That's adorable.
She says because I'm not very big, you know, and she's this big. I live between two big women, Amazons. You know, they're married, but they're just big women, you know. It's like walking with bookends beside you. You're in between the bookends. And she said to me, you're just like this little fairy, and you'll just flit here and do this. And she said, you need a magic wand. I said, oh, I could do a number with that. So the girl that does work for me, she sent me a wand. Magic wand. Believe it or not.
You know, back in 2017, I did go to Israel, finally. I did. And Tommy said I would go, and I didn't believe him that I would go. I was sitting on the couch, and he said, you're going to go. And I said, no, I can't. I can't afford it right now. He says, don't worry. And he said, please imagine where you're going to go. And so I went and I imagined different places, and I've never been there before. And here I'm imagining this. And then a month later, I went to a wedding, and my daughter-in-law said to me, would you like to go to Israel? I said, sure, but I can't afford it. She says, well, I'm going to pay you for your trip. And I'm like, what? And she did. She paid for my trip. And it was an awesome thing. But when I came back, I had an experience that was so devastating to me. I was actually in a grocery store, and a soul was pointing out people to me who were going to perish. And I'm like thinking, why are they going to perish? And I started actually crying in the grocery store.
Why?
And I told him, I said, somebody told me that these people are going to die. But I had no idea how they were going to die, why they were going to die, but they were going to die. I actually had that. And I'll never forget that. And I'm crying in the grocery store with that. And there's been a couple of times I thought I had COVID, and Tommy said, oh, no, you don't have COVID. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you just got to be safe. That's all you got to do. Now, I do want to explain where your book is, because we're nearing the end here, but it is on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
You and I can talk for hours. We could just talk for hours. Wish You Were Here, a Rock Fantasy. And her visits with Tommy, her buddy, now you know what it's like in heaven, and that makes me feel really good.
I also have a newsletter too, and in the newsletter, if anybody wants to join my newsletter, they'll get more paranormal tips, and if they like Bad Finger, they'll get some Bad Finger information as well.
Now, where do they get your newsletter from?
They would get it. All they have to do is write to me. My email is SharonJ0023@yahoo.com. So it's SHARON the letter J, 0023, thank you, Michael Jordan, at yahoo.com, and it's growing, and I'm really happy about that, that the newsletter is growing now.
Okay, well, what I'll do is I will get it, but I'll just write you to the email address that I have, and you can just hook me up that way.
And they're going to get a special gift for joining my email, my newsletter. They will get my rock dreams. And those are drawings that I've done since 1979 to 2015. And they have like all different rock stars and also little tidbits about them as well. And that's
cool.
It's really cool. Some of them in color, too. So. It's really
You're keeping busy, but look at what you're doing for the world. You're spreading all of this wonderful information, and I am so happy I met you. I have to talk to Helen and tell her because this is her fault, if you want to call it a fault.
It's not her fault.
Yeah, she says she sends me so many. Sometimes she'll send me somebody, and she'll say, "Well, I don't know if you really want to." If you want this one on your show, and I'll write her back, and I'll say, all right, yes, 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 caps her. She knows right away, but yeah, she's a dear. But I have a lot of people like that that'll send me almost everybody. I mean, I'm already getting stuff for the magazine, that's my baby. I'll do it. I will do it. But I've enjoyed this so much. We must do this again.
I hope we do. It would be great. Well, we can talk some more.
Yeah, we'll do it again, maybe spring, early summer, late spring, something like that when you got more going on. And I'll email you. We'll talk via email. And, you know, you've got a great gem with you in Tommy because he's really helping you out. But you see, your work has to get out, and you need him to help you. So then you go through the,
that's why
the right doors.
Around too.
Yeah, so you go through the right doors. But everybody, go on Amazon. Her book is there. Wish You Were Here, Rock Fantasy.
It's actually on sale right now, too. It's on sale.
Oh, yeah, by Joyce S. Isaacson. And you can get it on Kindle if you have Unlimited, or it's paperback.
And hardcover is on sale. Yeah, the hardcover is on sale right now. And the e-book is 99 cents right now.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see that. Now, who does that? Does Amazon set that up for you, or do you?
Actually, Amazon sets it up. I think my publisher probably set it up for me for the 99 cents, because what I've been doing is also getting the book for people as well as gifts. So it really really helpful right now for me.
I'll have Helen send me your book. I don't think she sent it to me. I don't recall. I would have seen it, and I get so many books, But that's I'll send her an email. I'll get it. But okay. Let's keep in touch. Okay.
Yes, let's keep in touch.
It's
great talking to you, Natalie.
Oh gosh, I made a friend. I love it. And I want to thank Candy, who does all of the promoting. She's in the chat room right now. I have to also. I will have your book in my Akashic bookstore. Yes, she just asked me that in the chat room. Will it be in the bookstore? Yes, and. Go look at her book, and we'll keep you posted. Anything that comes through, I'm going to get you to probably do something for the next issue, which will be the December issue, either an excerpt or something.
Oh, I'd love to do an excerpt for it. I would love to do that.
Yes, anything. We could do that. There's a lot of things. I mean, you can put the link for your newsletter in there and tell a little blurb about that. We'll talk about that.
Really?
We have time because I don't put that up until it'll be the end of this month. I'll do it. I usually take 3 days to do it, but I'll touch base with you. And then I want your newsletter and all that kind of good stuff. So, Candy, thank you for all you do. She does all the promoting. This recording now will be done and put on my YouTube channel, or it's for stars.
Oh, wow.
It'll be put there, and I'll let you know. I'll send you the link, but you can
pass
this recording around. It'll be wherever you want to put it, you can put it. It's,
It's going to be in my newsletter for sure. I've got about 217
As soon as we're done here, tomorrow I'll go and I'll send it off to you in email, and you'll have it, and off you go with it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
oh, you're
it.
Welcome. You're really sweet. Say hello to Tommy for me.
I just think he's probably...
Yeah, the sweetest thing. Yes, have a good evening. And
you
everybody,
too.
I'm going to tell you how I end my show, and I always end it the same way. That is, believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. And with that, I will say good night, and I'll see you next week. And have a good week. Be safe. Wear those masks. And stay away from people. Do your social distancing, because I have a feeling it's going to be masks for everybody for a while, whether you want it or not. But we have to get a handle on this, because it'll never go away. We have to. It's a must. So be safe. Be careful. And I'm going to play some music here at the end. It's called Free to Love. This is from Candy. This is a gal she knows. And it's the cutest song. I mean, it makes you start dancing in my office. I mean, I'll be moving around here and kind of laughing. And it's really sweet. So with that, I will say good night, everybody, and play the song. Good night, Joyce. I will talk to you in email
good
tomorrow.
Night.
Okay,
thank
good night.
So
good
much.
Night, everybody. I love you.
Good night.
Good night, sweet dreams. I'm going night-night because I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. So,
yeah, you okay. Should go to night-night. Bye.
Yeah. Okay, love you.
Hey. If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without me.